Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashland Dave, and I'm recording live from my podcast studio in Ashland, Virginia. Thanks for coming along.
Talk Shoe. Recorded live.
Hi, this is Ashland Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast with a special interview edition with the Lumberjack, Neil Richard of the Lumberjack podcast. And Neil, glad to have you along. Appreciate you making the time to do the interview tonight. How you doing?
Doing okay. I'm glad I remembered that we were doing this tonight because I almost forgot.
Yeah, me too. I was should have made it earlier, right?
That's okay.
Let me pull up my questions here because I know we were going to there were some of the things here. I know that the main thing is, the first thing I wanted to ask you about, I know you've got a lot of the your podcast and a lot of the information about what you do in distance running is at your blog. And what's the best way to cite that website? I've tried to do it a couple times on my podcast. It's what, tk421.blogspot.com? What's the actual web address there?
It's just what you said. It's tk421.blogspot.com, but it's tk42 and then the number one is spelled out.
That's and right, O-N-E.
Yeah, it's a Star Wars reference.
Yeah, I'll link to that for the listeners out there. I'll link to that at the ashlanddave.podbean.com the website. If you want to check that out. What's the significance of the tk42-O-N-E spelled out? Is there any significance to that?
I've been a Star Wars fan since I was in college, and when I lived in North Carolina, I had a license plate that was TK421, and then when we moved to Virginia, the TK421 was taken, so I had to spell out the number one, and I've just taken that ever since.
That's pretty cool. Well, just to let some of the listeners of the show know a little bit about you, what is and the reason that you're on the show is because you've listened to my podcast, and I guess you're a current listener. I guess you still listen to it. And I met you at the Dahlgren Heritage Rail Trail 50K back on August 3rd, which is really cool. It was really humid that day. We both were able to finish. That was a grueling 50K for me. I guess it kind of was for you too. Looking back,
humid after you. So.
Yes. And we've exchanged some emails about that. But what is kind of your history with running, distance running? And, I mean, clearly looking on your website, you got several marathon and ultramarathon finishes. Can you just kind of summarize a little bit about how you kind of got into running and how you got into the ultra stuff?
So I actually started running in high school. I ran cross country and then stopped running through college all the way up to 2008 when I started running again. And my very first race back in 08, I actually placed third in my age group in a 5K and felt really awesome, and then haven't really placed since then. I didn't get into ultra running until 2010, and I went from the Marine Corps Historic Half Marathon to a 50K in the same year. And the furthest I'd ever run before the 50K was the half marathon, and the furthest I'd run before the half marathon was like 8 miles.
Wow.
So
now I see that. What kind of attracts you to the distance running? I mean, what made you make that leap? I mean, that's kind of a significant leap. From the half marathon is just that, a half. I mean, what made that leap? What caused you to make that leap into a longer distance?
Probably the biggest thing that got me into ultras was I read Born to Run by, I think it's Chris McDougall.
Yeah.
And it just kind of blew my mind, and I just went from there. Since then, it's more mental therapy and a way to, fight off all the donuts and bad food. that I eat.
Bite off what?
All the donuts and the bad food that I eat.
Yeah, my vice is beer. That's why I run. So I can, I try to eat bagels instead of donuts. But boy, when it comes to beer, man, it's kind of hard to push that back. Well, I'm looking at a lot of your races here. I mean, you've got some significant accomplishments here. You've got 850K finishes, 100K finish, which I want to ask you about. That was last year's Oil Creek. And then three marathons. So you've got more ultra finishes than you do regular marathon finishes. And I'm looking through your 2010, 2011, 2012, and 2013 finishes, and it's pretty significant. How often do you get out there and do these races? It looks like, let's see, 2, 4, 6, maybe, you know, maybe 10, 12 races a year. Is that what's about right?
Yeah, somewhere in there. And not all of them are ultras. I would say maybe ultras are 5 or 6 a year. And this year I tried to, last year I tried to not do anything shorter than like a 10K, just to push into longer races. But before that, it was just, just about every weekend there's a 5K that you can go run.
Yeah, they're everywhere. Now, do you, I know you live in the King George area of Virginia, which to the listeners out there is, I guess it's not Central Virginia. It's kind of, it's not really Northern Virginia either. What do you all consider yourselves in King George?
Technically, we're part of the Northern Neck.
That's right.
Between the Potomac River and the Rappahannock River. Easiest way to, explain where we are is Fredericksburg is halfway between D.C. and Richmond, and we're just east of Fredericksburg.
Okay, that's true. King George is out that way. And for all the listeners out there, if you're trying to figure out the Northern Neck of Virginia is between the Potomac, well, as you said, between the Potomac and Rappahannock, and the Potomac is the northern river, which separates D.C. and Virginia. So what is the running scene like that up there? I know Fredericksburg is active, and then and after I ran that race in King George last month, obviously King George has stuff going on, and I kind of opened my eyes to that, and I'm hoping to come back in February maybe for the half marathon. But what is the what's the scene like in that area, and what are some of the races that you try to do?
I would say it's pretty much just like King George. It's rural. There's a few people here that run that if you get into running, you'll eventually run into them at a race or something. There's not that many races here. There's a couple that are put on by the Y. There's a couple that are on the trail, maybe 5 or 6 a year. So there's, it's small, best way to put it.
So, you, in other words, you end up meeting. Do you train with other folks up there? This was one of the other questions I was going to ask a little bit later. But do you? It sounds like you train mostly by yourself, at least during the week. I don't. What do you do on the weekends? Do you train with a group or still by yourself?
When I first started, I would go to the local Y and run with the running group there, like once a week, and that was kind of my peer pressure to get out and run. But almost exclusively, I run by myself. Even on weekends, I'll occasionally go run with other people. I think 2 weeks ago I ran about a quarter of a mile with 3 other people, but they were running like 7-minute pace, which is way faster than me. And so I saw them like 2 or 3 times and that was it.
Yeah, I have the same situation at times. I hear your pain, brother. Now, in reference to the ultra marathon, and I mean, clearly you're have seemed to be attracted to those more than other things. Do you follow that that sport, or as a sport, or do you kind of just do your own thing? And what I mean by that is, there's ultra marathon, and clearly is a sport. It's there's magazines about it, there's websites about it, there's you can consume all kinds of information about ultra marathons. Or do you just kind of do it because it's Yeah, because it's a small community when you go out to these 50Ks. I mean, there's not, you know, 1,000 people out there. I mean, how many people ran the dog in 50K? I think that was, what, well, less than 200, wasn't it?
I think it was only about 80. I don't even think.
Oh, that how many finishers? I think, I'm thinking about the half marathon. I think they cut that off at 200 or something because of parking.
Yeah.
Do you follow it as a sport, or do you just do it for your own satisfaction? How do you kind of what's your perspective on ultra marathoning, pretty much?
I follow it as a sport, and you know, I'll read Ultra Running Magazine. I'll watch the I Run Far interview videos. You know, I kind of know the big names in ultra running, who they are and what they do and who won Western States and stuff like that. I follow it. I'm not a fanatic. You know, I can't tell you who won 3 years ago. And I try to follow like local runners, as far as what they've done. But it's mostly just to learn so that I can do better. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Now, when you say you're trying to do better, I know that from listening to your podcast and reading your blog that you've either hired a coach or done something to get a coach to coach you. Did you hire one? And can you speak a little bit about that and how has it benefited you?
So I did hire a coach about a month ago or so, I would say, and I've been on the fence about it for a long time because I am not one to ask for help. Even if I need help and I know I need help, I don't want to ask for help, but I got a coach and it's helped so far. It's mostly, he's there to tell me what to do and to hold me accountable to go run. Otherwise, I'd just stay in bed or watch TV or run 3 miles instead of five. So,
now, is your setup with your coach, is that something that you physically meet with that person, or is it emailed or texting? How does that work these days? I don't even know.
So I looked around at a few, cause I've been shopping for coach for like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I've looked at a few different variations. Some were local, some I've met before and didn't really like, others are not so local. Some specialize in ultras and some don't. The coach I ended up going with, just because I'd heard a lot of good stuff and seen a lot of good results, is his name is Jeff Klein with a K, and his company is PRS Fit, and he's actually in Boulder, Colorado, but there's about 200 or so athletes that he and a few other coaches coach, and they're anything from I'm running my first K to I'm doing an Ironman triathlon.
Wow.
So there's a wide range. So I've talked to him on the phone. He'll send me emails. Most of the training is through the Training Peaks website. So he'll go in there and, you know, lay out what I'm supposed to do for this week. And then I'll go in and say, okay, this is what I did.
Okay, and then he looks at it and gives you feedback?
Yeah.
Right. Now is
quit eating those donuts.
Is he, we were talking earlier, and I don't want to get into Oil Creek yet, but are you using him as a coach for your 100K?
No, and I knew that going in because I knew it would be too late to really do anything. You know, 100K is a long way. You know, it's not something that you can train for in a month. I know that.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, okay, I should have known that.
So what we're doing is he knows that 100K is just I'm going to do whatever I can do. But what we're really training for is next year's races. There's three that I'm really aiming for, with the big one being the 24-hour race in May.
That's the one of Prince William, the ATR.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did one of his at Lake Anna State Park a couple of years ago. Excellent. Can't think of his name. Yeah, the IC8.
Yeah.
It was more muddy than anything, and it rained. But boy, he put on a good event, and that's maybe a subject for another podcast. But he squared away. Let me ask you about your training. Do you have any? Sounds like you train. I'm guessing you train after work or maybe before work during the week. I'm not sure. But do you have any special situations that you have to work around to train? I'm presuming that you have a family and obviously work full time. Anything special that you have to do there, or do you just kind of do the typical thing and just do it before work or after work?
So I'm married and I have two kids. Both are in elementary school and my wife's a teacher. Plus I work 40 hours a week. So that's pretty normal for most people working around that. I'm very lucky in that for the past few years, I'm able to work from home. And on top of that, I've always been very lucky in that my current job is pretty flexible. So if I want to work 8 to 5 today and 9 to 6 tomorrow, that's okay. There's a few exceptions. You know, sometimes I have to work late night or work on weekends. The busy time of year for me is January through April, where I'll do 50, 60 hours a week and 6-7 hours a day, or 6 or 7 days a week. So that makes it a little bit hard during that time frame, but not really anything special beyond that. If I want to go for a long run during my lunch, I'll do that. You know, if my work's done,
that's pretty sweet to have that flexibility. No doubt about that. You don't have to rush the shower to get back to work, right?
and well, you know, if I do have to rush the shower, it's okay if I stand in front of my computer in my underwear. Nobody's going to see me.
That's pretty. All right, let's talk about your podcast a little bit, because I want to ask you about the 50K that you've run up there in Dalton for the last 3 years. You're on episode 69 of the podcast. You just put that out on Monday of this week, and it's called the 1 Mile Podcast. How did you come up with that concept? Why did you start it? And can you talk a little bit about that? I think it's definitely unique it sounds like you just talk for a mile during your training run. You don't talk for the whole training run. You just pick out a mile when you run. So can you talk a little bit, maybe share that?
So I'm, I guess, relatively new to podcasts in that I've only been listening to them for a few years. And I listen to mostly running podcasts, so I'll listen to yours. I used to listen to, I think it's Run Live.
I used to listen to that too.
Geek Runners or something? They used to have one. Three Non-Joggers, they used to have one. So I'll listen to mostly running shows, running podcasts. But most of them were always, like, too long for me to really hold my attention. And
so let me ask you this one real quick. When you say too long, because I've always been trying to gauge this with my own show, what is too long for you?
Too long for me is like over an hour.
Yeah, okay, I agree with
so,
that.
Okay. So one of the podcasts I listen to is Mental Pod, which is not at all running, and he'll go for like an hour and a half to 2 hours, hour and a half to 2 hours sometimes, and that's just, you know, hit me quick and let me move on. I don't have that much time.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked, I think it was Ultra Dad did a podcast.
Yeah, he had a good one. I don't listen to it anymore. Does he still put it out?
Not lately, no. But
I just didn't have the time to
sometimes.
Listen to it. Yeah.
Yeah, he would do one sometimes where he would run and record, and I really liked that for some reason. So I don't know why. I just decided to do my own podcast and do what I wanted to listen to,
right,
which was something short and somebody running, and I just, I don't even know how I came up with the name. I just decided I'm going to do a mile, I'm going to record, and that's going to be it.
I think it's pretty cool because it, you know, you kind of hit on some topics, and you know, it's pretty short and to the point. And I mean, this podcast is not about how I produce mine. We can get to that if you ever get to if you interview me. But I agree. I mean, I like how yours is short. And anyway, so you listen to? I have to ask you about the Mission podcast really quick because I happen to be a Star Trek fan and. And I was listening to it after I read about that, and boy, that's a pretty in-depth podcast. I didn't realize that people could get into Star Trek as much as that podcast.
The Mission Log, yeah, that's
the Mission Log, yeah,
that's another relatively new one for me because Alton Brown started doing a podcast, and my kids and my wife and I love his Good Eats show because it's very educational and sciencey, and he makes some pretty cool food. Well, he started doing a podcast through the Nerdist channel, which I've always heard of, but never really. I mean, I'm geeky, but I'm not that geeky. And so through them, I came across the Mission Logs, and I'm not really a big Star Trek fan. I'm more of a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
But it's pretty intense.
No doubt. Well, we're getting close on time. I wanted to ask you about your involvement with the Dahlgren Heritage Rail Trail 50K, and then obviously if we have a few minutes left to talk a little bit about your preparation for the Oil Creek 100K. You've run the Dahlgren race since its inception. Are you involved with that trail outside the race? Are you on the board? Do I have that right?
So I didn't run the first year for the race, for the 50K. I've run every year since then. There's not really a board. There's just a group of people that volunteer on the trail and maintain it, pick up trash. That's really all we are.
You're involved in it outside the running part of it.
Yeah. Like I run the Facebook page for the trail,
okay.
And the Twitter account, and really just go out and run on the trail and say, hey, like today when I ran on the trail, there was a broken bench. So I need to send an email and say, hey, there's a broken bench here that we need to fix.
Okay. Well, I thought the trail was really cool. I don't know if you listened to the show I did about the recap of it. I think you did. I was really impressed with that trail, really enjoyed it. And I think I've already recruited one person to come up for the half marathon in February. Now, we've got a couple minutes left. Talk about, you got the Oil Creek 100K coming up October 5th, right?
Right.
And that's in Pennsylvania. Do you have a crew?
Nope.
What is your, do you have a strategy? Or are you just going to, you kind of by the seat of your pants at this point?
I'm going to wing it.
Okay.
Sometimes
that can be successful.
Yeah. No, so last year was my first year doing it, and it was very much like running my first 50K. I thought I knew what I was doing, but I had no idea.
A long way.
Yeah, and I was a dummy. I did 100K, and my mom lives up there, so I just stayed with her. And the next weekend, Like, I stayed there the whole week, and the next weekend I had signed up for a 12-hour run, and I did, I think, 10 miles. So I was dumb. I couldn't even run. All I could do was walk. I could barely walk for like 3 days afterwards.
Yeah. Wow.
But I've got no crew, no pacer. My mom was there with her boyfriend last time and saw me at the halfway point, and that was it.
So are you driving up on your own?
Yeah, I'm going to drive up on my own. There's one guy who's in Northern Virginia. He'll be doing it. It'll be his first time doing 100K, so I'm sure I'll see him up there. But other than that, I don't really know anybody.
Well, I'm sure you'll make some new friends out there. That's for sure. If you're by yourself, that's definitely. Well, I wish you the best with that. I'd like you to come back if you could and talk about that if you don't mind. That would be, I know that's looked up the website. It's up in Pennsylvania. I was kind of looking at the course, and I didn't realize it was coming up so quick for some reason. I knew that you had 100K coming up, but I didn't realize it was coming up in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's like 9 days.
Yeah, so maybe you come back after you finish that. I wish you all the best with that, and appreciate you coming along for the interview for the Running the Center of Universe podcast, and we will definitely look forward to talking to you next time, and maybe we can you can return the favor, I can return the favor, and end up on your show one of these days. I always got plenty to talk about myself, so. Anyway, we'll see you next time, and all the luck best of luck to you at Old Creek. And
thanks for having me. It was fun,
man.
And I'll definitely I'll figure out a time or something, and we'll go running for a mile at least together and talk.
Sounds good. All right, man, take care. Just hold on a second, and all you listeners out there, just stand by. We will get to the email bag second of the show.
And many thanks to Neil for making the time to do that interview. Really appreciate that, Neil. Hopefully we'll get another chance to talk again. And so make sure you check out his podcast at TK421, and that's one spelled out, one.blogspot.com. Also link to that at ashlanddavid.podbean.com, so you can check it out there. So let's get over to the email bag section of the show. Heard from longtime listener Christina over at the Lazy Bones Running blog. And she said that she loved that my iPod got stuck on the Fiddler on the Roof songs when I was running the Dahlgren 50K. And yeah, that was kind of weird. It was kind of weird that the iPod and the Garmin both malfunctioned around the same time. It was just kind of a weird thing. I'm not quite sure what to make of that. But Christina, appreciate you being a longtime listener and checking in. Also heard from another longtime listener, Richard Fawless, out of the Northern Virginia area. And he's actually got a pretty interesting request here. He is doing the DC Ragnar Relay October 4th and 5th as an ultra team, and they had one of the runners drop out so at the last minute. So if you're interested in doing that, they're in desperate need of another runner. And if you're interested in that, you can email me at ashlanddave@gmail.com, and I will forward your name over to him, or you can email him at richard.fallace, it's FAILLACE@gmail.com. Fallace, I think, is how it's pronounced. I'm sorry, Richard. And he said they would be happy with really just about anybody that could hang in the van for about 30 hours. It's a team from the State Department, so that would probably be an interesting group of people. So email me if you're interested in that, and we'll get you connected. Heard from Sandy, also another longtime listener, and someone I've actually run a marathon with, which was a lot of fun when we ran down the Blue Ridge Marathon. She has did the five states marathons in North Dakota, South Dakota, Montana, Wyoming, and Nebraska. Actually, she and her husband kind of been living out of their RV since early September, and they're not going to be home until October 3rd. She did the five marathons in the five states, and then visited her brother in Iowa, and then also friends in Wyoming, spent a few nights in Kansas City, and now they're in Tennessee. She's going to be in Asheville for 3 nights, and she's going to do the marathon there, I guess, which was probably yesterday. And she said she's feeling great. She had a whole lot of fun. She said the first and fourth marathons, so the first one being in North Dakota, the fourth one being in Montana, were so cold, 38 degrees and a wind of 35 miles per hour. And then the second in South Dakota, and the third, which was Wyoming, was hot, no shade. Last day perfect but hilly. She said she loved it all and was way easier than a 100-mile race. That was pretty remarkable, Sandy. And yeah, let's try to hook up on an interview for that. Maybe we can do that over the Skype thing. So I'll keep that in mind and catch up with you soon, and we'll get that worked out. And congratulations, by the way. That's wonderful. I also heard from David Williams down under. He finished his I might have referenced this in the last show. I can't remember. He finished his 200K run, raised about $23,000 in U.S., and it looked like Australian was about $25,000. If you cure cancer, Australia. He said the best part of the run was all the communities that he passed through. Everybody cheered them on, donated money to the cause. Everything was very inspiring, and the memories will stay with him, with his wife, and himself for a long time. He said he felt fantastic the whole run. It even felt like running the next day, but his wife wouldn't let him. And he said everything went according to plan, except for the weather, which was pretty foul. Headwinds and squally rain for most of the journey. So, David, that's just that's wonderful. It really is, and congratulations. And I know that's a cause that's close to your heart, and I appreciate you keeping me updated all along. It's always good to hear from you. Heard from my brother, of all people, John Kay. He said, "Hey, Dave, love the podcast. Busted. He didn't know that my dog could run like that, because that was the day that I guess I referenced Blue doing a 7-mile run." And John, I didn't know you listened to the show, but I appreciate you checking in. And maybe you can get out there and get yourself do some running a little bit. The next one is, I'm going to skip this next one. It's about the Richmond Marathon. It's just an unbelievable price increase that I wanted to comment on. I'll talk about that in a second. So, yeah, I heard from Steve Buani, and he wanted to know where the trolley line was, because apparently he has not found that yet. Steve, it's funny how when you get out, you know, on foot, you find all these little areas, and I probably would have never known about the trolley line had I not gone running down there one day. And so I'll show you, it's Maple Street Extension. There's a business down there. I think it's Walder, W-A-L-D-E-R something. And you go down there, and it's kind of a one-way deal. But if you still can't find it, let me know, and I'll be happy to, when we go for a run, we can go check it out. And he also checked in about the that kid, whose kid's getting busted in my last show. He was down at Belle Island in the river one time, saw a crowd that he described as hippies, and he thought he was probably going to get a secondhand marijuana high because he could smell it so much. Yeah, a lot of people do that stuff, man. It's one thing when you do it, privacy here at home, you're not bothering anybody. But when you're going to get out there and you're getting high, you know, when you're behind the wheel of a car, I got a major problem with that. So, like I said in the last show, I'm gonna do something. Let's see, the last one here is I am going to talk about the Richmond Marathon increase. Let me just click back to that one. It's kind of hard to believe. I'm running the Richmond Marathon, which is November 16th. I signed up on the early bird special last year, and I can't remember what it was, probably $40, because I knew I was going to run it again. So I just went ahead and signed up early. But here's how much it costs now. The Richmond Marathon fee is currently $100. It's going up another $20 on October 1st. $120 to run a marathon over a month away. It's just unbelievable to me. The half marathon is currently $90, and it's going to go up $10 on October 1st to $100. It's ridiculous. I mean, the Richmond Marathon, don't get me wrong, is a good event, but that's obscene how much that costs. That's crazy. I don't know. I guess people pay it. I don't know. I don't think I would. I don't know if I would spend that much unless I had somebody that would push me in a wheelchair. I don't know. Or if they had wheelchairs at the end that you could sit in and be pushed around in. Maybe I would pay that much if they gave you a little cart at the end. Anyway, that's just my opinion. I'm going to let that go. All right. Well, thanks for listening to the show. That's it for this week. I'll be back 2 weeks in, or 2.5 weeks to 3 weeks for a brand new episode. And I'll talk a little bit about my long training runs. I really feel like I've gotten over the big hump here. I did a 16 miler yesterday, and then set up for a craft beer festival we had here in the center of the universe, and really ran most of that with Ash and Bob, and really just I think I'm really over the hump, and I think I'm well on my way to getting up to that good strong 20 mile training run and getting ready for Richmond. So we'll talk more about that in the next show. Thanks again to all the listeners out there who download the show. Appreciate the support, and thanks to Neil for doing the interview. And this is Ashland Dave. I'm running in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish, keep on running, don't forget to hug your kids, and have a good week.